yesterday's screen of Torah, in the midst of the Tochacha, we have the pasuk v'chashlu ish ba'achid. The words literally mean that a person will stumble over his brother. V'chashlu ish ba'achid. Chazal darshan in the Gemara in Shvuot, you have it here in the first Maramokal, and the same Gemara appears in Sanhedrin as well, that v'chashlu ish ba'achid means ish ba'avon achid. It doesn't mean that one's going to stumble over his brother's feet, one's going to trip over his brother's feet, but it means that rather one is going to stumble at the averus of his brother. And the Gemara says that this is the source for the cloud, the Kol Yisrael Arevim, there are different gesos, whether it's Zeh Boza or Zeh Loza. This is the source for the mutual responsibility and interdependence. Now, the practical application which the Gemara gives for this din of Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh Boza, that if Hoya V'yada Limchos V'lo Micha, so then is Nispas V'Oso Avam, that if a person could have been Mocha on his Chaver committing an Avera Rachman Litzlan, and he wasn't Mocha, he didn't give Tochacha, he didn't try to get his Chaver to avoid sinning, so because of this principle of Orvus, so then he's also held accountable for that Avera. That Hayi B'Yada Limchas V'lo Micha. That's the only practical application of this din that the Gemara gives. The Rishonim say that there is another din in the Gemara, which is also based on the principle of Orvus. The Gemara has in the second Maramakam here, the Gemara has in Rosh Hashanah the din of Yatsa Motzi. Din of Yatsa Motzi, again, with which we're all familiar, allows for the fact that, for instance, if a person has already made Kiddush, so one can make Kiddush a second time to be Motzi someone who has not yet been Yotze. So even though the person has already been Yotze his mitzvah, nevertheless he can be Motzi someone else. So the Rishonim are bothered. I mean, Rashi doesn't ask the question, but it's clear that Rashi is bothered that the same sugi in Rosh Hashanah where this din appears. So earlier the Mishnah gives a klal that in order to be Motzi a Saravim Yidei Chavasan, a person has to be Chayav V'Oso Dava. That only if a person is Mechuyav B'Dava can he be Motzi Asarabim Yidei Chavasan. So if that's the case, how can we have Yotza Motzi? Once upon a time he was a Mechuyav B'Dava, but presently he's no longer a Mechuyav B'Dava. So how can I make Kiddush a second time if I've already been Yotzi, I'm no longer a Mechuyav B'Dava? So the Gemara answers, well, not the Gemara answers, that's what Rashi answers, that what underlies this din of Yotza Motzi is the principle of Orvus. And that in light of Orvus, so I'm still a Mechuyav B'Dava, despite the fact that I already made Kiddush, I'm still a Mechuyav B'Dava as long as there's someone else, as long as there's another Jew who's also Chayiv in Kiddush. He hasn't said Kiddush, so I'm still a Mechuyav B'Dava. Exactly how far-reaching this principle of Yotze Motzi is an interesting question, not really our inyan, just very quickly, just to highlight the issue. If you take a look in the Gemara here, so Tani Ava Bredu of Zeru Kalabachus Kulan Ava Pisha Yatsa Motzi Chutz Mi Bekas Halachim Bekas Hayayim. That the principle of Yatsa Motzi applies to a Bekas HaMitzvah such as Kiddush, it doesn't apply to a Bekas HaNanin. I can't be Motzi someone with the bracha of HaMotzi Lechem in Ha'aretz. If he's eating bread now, I'm not eating bread, so there's no Yatsa Motzi. Shem lo Yatsa Motzi Vim Yatsa Eino Motzi. Why? Because again, given that what underlies the principle of Yatsa Motzi is Orvus, so there's Orvus, he's chayiv to do the mitzvah, so then I have Orvus. I have responsibility to help him be Yatsa the mitzvah. He's not chayiv to eat the bagel, so I have no Orvus to help him make the bracha of HaMotzi. What about the hamotzi before the kezayis at the seder? What about the bari peagofen as part of kiddush? So on the one hand, it's a bekas hanenin, on the other hand, it's a bekas hanenin, which is indispensable for a mitzvah. So that's the gemara's ibaya. And ultimately, the gemara decides that in fact, the principle of yatsa motzi does apply in these cases as well. So here there's an interesting Rashi that the Shagas Aryeh noticed. When the Gemara gives the example of what about the Bari Pri HaGofen of Kiddush Hayom, so Rashi says, well, pshita, that when it comes to the bracha of Mekadesh Yisrael v'Hazmanim, So there the principle of Yatsa Motzi applies. But the question is, what about the bracha of Bo'i Pi Agafen? So the Shagas Ayeh is prompted by the fact, why did Rashi give the example of Kiddush and Yom Tov? Why didn't Rashi give the example of Mekadosh HaShabbos and Kiddush and Shabbos? So Rashi goes out of his way to give the example of Kiddush and Yom Tov. So the Shagas Ayeh says, a tremendous Kiddush Halacha L'maaseh that others don't concur with, that he thinks that the Pshat, even the Shagas Ayeh acknowledges that at best this is a machlokas in the Rishonim, but the Shagas Ayeh thinks that the Pshat in Rashi is that Rashi is assuming that Kiddush and Yom Tov is only Midur Rabbanan, like the Magid Mishnah says, that Kiddush and Yom Tov is only Midur Rabbanan, and that Rashi is saying that this principle of Yatzah Motzi is only effective for Mitzvah Darabonim. It's not effective for Mitzvah Daraisa. That's why Rashi says that the example of Kiddush Hayom that the Gemara is discussing is not an example of Mekadosh HaShabbos, Kiddush and Shabbos, but rather Kiddush on Yom Tov. Okay. So be that as it may, we have this principle of Yatzah Motzi, which according to some Rishonim, as the Shagas Ayeh himself acknowledges, operates, is effective even for Daraisas. And maybe the Shagas Ayeh thinks that the Pshat in Rashi is that it's only for Darabonans. Now, some further insight into exactly how the principle of Orvus functions. So we have two practical applications of this principle of Orvus. First of all, the sense that, Rachmana Litzlan, if a person was Hoya B'yada Limchos, if a person could have been Mofe on an Aveira and just passively neglected to do so, so then he's nispas va'oso avan rachman al-islan. He's also held accountable for that avera and will be punished for it, rachman al-islan. And second of all, the din of yatsa motzi, that too is based on this principle of orvus. Let's get a little bit more insight into the din of orvus. So again, these are very famous marim mekomos, all well known to you. So there is a passage in the Rosh Masechas Brachos in the third parak. You have it here in the third and fourth Marim Makomos. In the third Marim Makom, so the Gemara has an Ibaya whether or not Noshim are Chayavos in benching Midor Araisa or Midor Abonim. So why should it occur to us that they're not Chayavos Midor Araisa? It's a Mitzvah's Esei Shelo Azman Grama. Anytime you eat, that can trigger a Chiyav to bench. So it's a Mitzvah's Esei Shelo Azman Grama. So shouldn't it be obvious that Noshim are obligated Midaraisa? Yeah, but on the other hand, there are different Pshatim in Rishonim. Maybe since we're required to mention Bris in benching, and Noshim don't have the Mitzvah of Bris Mila, or maybe for some other reason, maybe because we're required to mention Torah, and Noshim are not obligated in Mitzvah Talmud Torah, or for whatever reason. So the Gemara has an Ibaya whether or not women are obligated to bench Midaraisa, Midarabana. The Gemara says, Lamai nafkin mina, either way they have to bench. It's a Mishnah that minimally they're obligated Midarabana. So the Gemara says, the difference is, Lafuke Ram Yidecha Vasim. Let's say you would have a man who doesn't know how to bench, and you would have a woman who knows how to bench. So could she be Motzi the man with benching? Okay, fine. And the Gemara doesn't, or at least seemingly, the Gemara isn't Poshe the Yubaya, and it remains seemingly a Sreik of the Dina. It's a little bit more complicated than that once you get into the Rishonim, but it's not really relevant to our topic presently. So the Rosh here in the fourth Marim Makom, okay. Well, it's not exactly here, but okay. Thank you. If you take a look here on the what do they call it when you don't make the deadline for the ad book, the supplement, right? So if you take a look in the supplement here, the Marim Makomos, around 10 lines from the bottom. So the Rosh asked the following kasha: "Vim talma ma'ishna mehada aminu lekamon b'parik shlosha she'ochlu lahotzi esachay midei chavos and ad she'ochlu kezayis dogon." ובשיר כזייס אינו חייב אלו מדור הבונן, ואפילו הופי מוציא אחרים שאוכלו כדי סביר וחייבן מן התורה. ואם כן, באיש שנמי, אף על פי שאין החיירס אלו מדור הבונן, תוציא אחרים שחייבן מן התורה. So the Rosh says later, the Gemara Daf Mem Ches, when it tells the famous story with Shimon ben Shatach and Yanai, so the Gemara says that you can be motzi others with benching, even if they ate kedei svir, even if they satiated themselves, satiated themselves through achilas panos. If a person just washes, and at the beginning of the meal eats a kazayas or a kibetza of bread, and then the rest of the meal doesn't eat any bread, and then reaches kedei sviya, just based on the vegetables and the meat and the chicken and the dessert, so he's not going to be chayv in benching min haTorah, because the kedei sviya had very little to do with the pas. But if he's sort of eating the entire meal together with pas, so then he would incur a chiyuv daraisa of benching. So the Gemara says that even someone who only ate a kezayis, which is only a shir d'rabbanan, can be motzi someone who ate kedei sviya, even though he's chayv min haTorah. So you see that you don't have to be a mechuyav min haTorah to be motzi someone who's chayv min haTorah. So if that's the case, what do we care whether nasha machayavas mid'rabbanan mid'raisa? Either way, they should be able to be motzios anoshim with vikas hamozon. And if you had a case that the woman knows how to bench and the man doesn't know how to bench, the isha should be able to be motzi the ish with benching. That's the Rashi's kasha. So if you take a look, the Rashi has six lines on the bottom and says, Yeshlam adilo dami. The ish, afagav shalo ocham klum, din hu shi yifto es acherim. B'chol Yisrael arevim zeh bozeh. Elam yidravon an amru shalo yivorchu bikas hanen and below hanoa. M'fichov kishe ochal kezayis, afal pi she'enu nisfayiv, elam yidravon an, Motzi es acherim she'ochlu kedei sviya, she'orev hu ba'avuram, v'olov hu lahatzilon min ha'ovon, v'lifto rosen min ha'mitzvos. Aval isha einu b'chlal ha'ovos, l'chach einu motziya ela mishe che'iva midu avonon. So the Rosh answers as follows. What's the basis of what the Gemara says in Daf Mem Ches? When the Gemara says in Daf Mem Ches, that Shimon ben Shetach, even if he would have eaten only a kezayis, could have been motzi yanai v'chaveru, who just had a royal banquet, even though they're chayav min haTorah, and he'd only be chayav midu rabbanan. It's based on the principle of orvos. They have a mitzvah to do. They're obligated in benching, so the principle of orvos says that he can step up and he can be motzi them with benching. And the truth is that as far as that goes, Shimon ben Shetach could have done it even if he hadn't eaten anything at all. The only thing is, midrabanan, Chazal said, how can it be that a person is saying, thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for eating when he hasn't partaken of anything? But the truth is that in light of the principle of Orvos, so again, you can step up, I guess you can step up to the plate, and you can be motzi as harabim midei chavasan with benching, even though you didn't eat at all. So why does the Gemara have the nafkimina with regard to anoshim? Because the Rosh says, because anoshim are not b'chol orvus. Because the principle of orvus, which allows one to be motzi someone else, even though he doesn't currently have that chiyuv, doesn't apply to anoshim. That's the famous answer of the Rosh. What exactly the Rosh means is, again, subject to a dispute between the Noda Yehuda and Reb Kiva Eger. And the background to the dispute is as follows. The Magen Avraham says that one is Yotzei, the mitzvah d'araisa of Kiddush, Friday night. According to most Rishonim, the Rambam paskens this way, it's 2 days in Tosfos, but Yayin is not required min haTorah for Kiddush. That Kiddush min haTorah is just Zechiras Dvarim, even without any association with Yayin. And when the Gemara says Zachrei ala Yayin, that part is only an Asmachta. The only thing which is full-fledged d'araisa is the Zechiras Shabbat for Kiddush, is to mention Shabbos and to describe Shabbos in laudatory terms, but the need for Yayin is only Midu Rabbanan. Hence, says the Magen Avraham, that you Yotzei Kiddush Daraisa in Shul when you daven Mayur. And when you come home, so you only chayv in Kiddush Midu Rabbanan. That's what the Magen Avraham says. So the Navi Yehuda says, so now he says, you might have a problem when you come home. Assuming the following scenario, that the husband daven Mayur and that his wife did not daven Mayur. Now, women are obligated in Kiddush Midaraisa, right? Kol she yeshna v'shama is yeshna v'zocha. Who's ever mitzuvah in Issa Malacha in Shabbos is also mitzuvah in making Kiddush. So even though making Kiddush in Shabbos is a mitzvah essay, Shahazman Groma, Afal Pichain, women are obligated. So says the Navi Yehuda, so wait a minute. So when the husband comes home, he's not chayav in Kiddush Midaraisa anymore. Because according to the Magen Avraham, he was Yotzei in Shul. He was Yotzei in Shul when he davened Mayur. if his wife hasn't davened the marriage, then the Behuda is not discouraging the woman from davening marriage. He's just commenting on if it happens. And if his wife has not davened marriage, so then he's not chayv ben haTorah, but she is chayv ben haTorah. Okay, so that's no problem, right? That's orvus. Even though on a daraisa dika level, he's not chayv, but she's chayv, that doesn't pose any problems, because we'll invoke the principle of orvus. The same way I can make a kiddush a second time. If my guest comes late to the Suda, so I'll make the kiddush daraisa a second time for my wife. Says no to you, but wait a minute, didn't the Rosh say that Noshim are not Bechal Orvus? He said that Noshim are not Bechal Orvus. So now the Nodi Yehuda says, well, I'm not sure what the Rosh meant. Did the Rosh mean that women don't have the responsibility for men, which is why a woman wouldn't be able to be motzi a man with benching if she doesn't share the same obligation? Or no, maybe he meant it in both directions. Not only doesn't an Isha have Orvus for a man, but a man doesn't have Orvus for her either. Says another Yehuda, he's not sure, and possibly there's a problem which needs to be navigated every Friday night when you come home from shul. There has to be some solution, whatever the optimal solution is. Be mechavi not to be yotzei kiddush daraisa in shul, or the wife should make sure to daven or something. But says another Yehuda, there might be a problem here which needs to be addressed. Now if Kiva Egel comes and says that Umchilas Kvodo, he thinks another Yehuda made a mistake. This is Rav Kiva Eger, like the Shtikl Torah. He writes it in all of his Svarim. He writes it in the Mishnayos. He writes it in Drush V'Chidush. He writes it in his Tshuvas. Vumen Geit. Rav Kiva Eger says the Shtikl Torah. He likes the Shtikl Torah. He says that he thinks another Yehuda misunderstood the Rosh. He says when the Rosh said that Noshim are not Bechal Orvus, he says the Rosh didn't have in mind some kind of a gender distinction. Why should it be that when the Torah tells us that there's a principle of Orvus at the Hargrizim and Harivol, that there's Orvus, why should it be that applies only to men and not to women? There's no such indication in the Torah. So says of Kivega, no, what the Rosh meant was like this. He says there is a Mishnah in Megillah. The Mishnah in Megillah says, if you hold that in order to be Yotzei Megillah, it has to be audible to oneself, that one's Kriya has to be audible to oneself, it's Tzarech LaHashmir LaOznav, so then a Cheresh HaMedaber V'Einu Shameya, a deaf person, even though he's not a deaf mute, he's a Bardas, a Cheresh is a deaf mute, he's a Lav Bardas, and is part of all mitzvahs as such. But someone who, Rachmanu Litzlan, is only deaf, but not mute, so he is a Bardas, he is chayv in mitzvahs, but if you hold that in order to be yotzei mitzvahs megillah, it has to be audible to oneself, tzarech lashmiya l'ozno, so then a medaber v'eino shomea, just physically, is incapable of doing the mitzvah, so he'll be potter from the mitzvah. So what about, can he be the bal kori in shul? Let's assume, right, which we don't, but let's assume that tzarech lashmiya l'ozno, and therefore, this person is potter, so can he serve as the bal kori in shul? So the Mishnah says no, that if you think that a medaber v'eino shomea can't be yotze, because tzarech lahashmir la'ozno, and therefore he's potter, he couldn't be the bal kori in shul either. Why? Because in order to be motzi yitzara midei chavos, you have to be chayav. But wait a minute, doesn't Orvis always solve that problem? Doesn't the principle of Orvis say, okay, I don't need to read for myself, this cheresh reasons, because since I can't hear, so I'm not chayiv in the mitzvah anyway. But doesn't the principle of Orvis say, I'm still chayiv, that everyone else should be yotzei? So that should position me to be able to be motzi yisrael midei chavos. In the same way, let's say a person who's not handicapped, he's not deaf, Rachman Litzlan. He can read the Megillah twice, even though when he reads the Megillah the second time, when they have the second Kriyas of Megillah, Purim night. So usually the Balkari already leaned once already. So Elamai, what's he relying on? He's relying on Orvus. So why not rely on Orvus for the deaf person, Rachman Litzlan, as well? So Kiva Eger says, so what you see clearly from this Mishnah is that a person is only included in the Orvus for a particular mitzvah if he's chayav in that mitzvah as well. If one is chayav to read the Megillah, So then one is also included in the Orvos for that mitzvah. But if one doesn't have to read the Megillah oneself, so then one is not chayiv in the Orvos for that mitzvah either. So the person who Baruch Hashem, he's a hearing person, and he's chayiv to read the Megillah himself, so then he also is included in the Orvos for this mitzvah, so his obligation is also to see to it that everyone else reads the Megillah. So hence, he can read the Megillah at the first minyan, he can read the Megillah again at the second minyan. But the deaf person, Rachman al-Itzlan, who's not chayiv in the mitzvah, he's not chayiv even to read for himself, he's not included in the Orvos for the mitzvah. Says Rabbi Akiva Eiger, and that's what the Rush meant. The Rush meant, he wasn't saying anything about the women versus men. He wasn't saying there's some kind of gender distinction. What the Rush was saying is that if women are exempt from benching Midaraisa, so then like the Cheresh, they'd also be exempt from the Orvos of that mitzvah. And that's all the Rush meant. But we are women are obligated in the mitzvah, so then there's no question that they're included in the Orvos for the mitzvah as well. So Kiva Eger says there's no problem. The whole Friday night problem doesn't exist. Because women are obligated in mitzvah kiddush, and therefore there's no question that the principle of Orvos encompasses men and women alike, and there's no problem whatsoever. Even if the husband has already been yotze, he's the rice of kiddush, and the wife hasn't, he can still be motzi her. So what do you see from this Rabbi Akiva Eiger? So what added insight does this Rabbi Akiva Eiger offer? Akiva Eiger basically explains how the principle of Orvos, it sort of dramatizes. The truth is, we could have drawn the inference on our own just from the Rashi, but it dramatizes that the Orvos is built into every mitzvah. Sometimes when we hear the klal of Kol Yisrael Areivim, Zeh Bo Zeh, Zeh Lo Zeh, so we sort of associate it, if we would play telephone, and what's your association with Kol Yisrael Areivim, Zeh Bo Zeh, so we'd say, oh, it's like Avos Yisrael, it's like Chochacha. You have to look out for each other. You have to stand up for each other. And it's not wrong, but technically, it's very different in the sense that Avos Yisrael is an independent mitzvah. Orvos is built into every mitzvah. In order for me to be motzi someone with Megillah, or with benching, or with Kiddush, or any mitzvah, the fact that I'm obligated in Avos Yisrael doesn't help me. I have to be mechuyev in that mitzvah. To be motzi sarav yedech avosan in shofar, I have to be mechuyev in shofar. To be motzi sarav yedech avosan with Megillah, I have to be mechuyev in Megillah. So it's wonderful. So I'm mechuyev in Orvos. How does that help me be motzi sarav yedech avosan? The answer is, and this is what the... And Rabbi Akiva Eiger helps dramatize it, is that the Orvos is built into the mitzvah. The Orvos is built into the mitzvah. My chiyuv to make kiddush is the chiyuv that everyone should make kiddush. My chiyuv to read the Megillah is the chiyuv that everyone should read the Megillah. My chiyuv to hear shofar is the chiyuv that the everyone that the Torah wants to hear shofar should hear shofar. Memela says Rabbi Akiva Eiger, well, since the Orvos is packaged in the mitzvah, it's embedded, it's internal to the mitzvah, so if I'm not chayiv in the first place to hear Megillah, if I'm not chayiv in the first place to bench, then I'm not going to be b'chlal the Orvos for that mitzvah either. Okay, so just to recap what we've seen until now, that the Gemara has a concept of Kol Yisrael Areivim Zeh Bo Zeh or Zeh Lo Zeh. What are the practical applications of this idea of mutual responsibility and interdependence? The Gemara says that Yesh B'yadu Limchos V'lo Micho is Nispas V'oso Avon. If a person could have been Moche against an Avera and doesn't, so then the Torah holds him responsible for that Avera as well. Then the Rishonim, Rashi, others as well, say that the din of Yotze Motzi, the fact that I can read the Megillah a second time, I can make Kiddush a second time, to be Motzi others, even though to be Motzi them, I have to be Mechuyev Badava. I have to be Mechuyev Badava, but I'm still Mechuyev Badava by virtue of the Yotze Motzi. And already here, it's implicit that Kiva Eger dramatizes, it helps us see the point even in a more magnified fashion, that the Yotze Motzi is intrinsic to the mitzvah. It's intrinsic to the mitzvah. Okay. Now this in turn, l'chora, this idea of Orvos flows from another fundamental idea. Now just the background to this, the Rav was fond of of developing the following point. When we talk about Klal Yisrael, when we talk about the Tzibur, again, whether we're dealing with a microcosm of a Tzibur, anytime you have a minion, or whether we're talking about the Klal Yisrael in its entirety, the Jewish people in its entirety, so the Rav used to say that Klal Yisrael doesn't just mean it's a massive partnership of 600,000 plus people. But Klal Yisrael is, in the English phrase you used to use, is a metaphysical entity unto itself. It's something which is greater than the sum of its parts. It's not just, again, well, if you have all the individuals, if you have every individual Jew, and you fetch them into the Azara, you don't have to, all right? It won't be crowded. And you bring them all into the Azara. Okay, so now you have all these Yechidim together. When you have all the Yechidim together, all the individuals together, you call it a Tzibur. Rav says no. It's rather it's a metaphysical entity unto itself. Again, which is greater than the sum of its parts. How do we know that? How do we see that? So the Rav used to bring different rayas. One of them you have here. It's Maror Mokom number 7. On the list, there is a halacha in Moshe Misina that there are chamesh chataos which are mesos. There are chamesh chataos whether the animal was hukdash to serve as a korban chatas, and then the din is that we're just gonna that we leave it and it just it dies. That we can't be makriv it, we can't even be poda it if it will develop a mum. But chamesh chataos mesos. One of those chataos which the halacha in Moshe Misina says is mesos. Is a chatas shemesu ba'oleha. Let's say a person, Rachmanu Litzlan, ate chalev. He ate on Yom Kippur, b'shogeg, Rachmanu Litzlan. So then he has to bring, so if he would have done that willfully, so he would have been chayev kar. So he does it b'shogeg, he's chayev a chatas. So he's mafresh the chatas. So this is harezu chatas, he's mafresh the chatas, and then he dies. So if he would have been mafresh and ola and then died, so then the yoshim will be makriv the ola. But if he was mafresh a chatos and then the chatos and then he dies, mesu ba'aleha, so then the halacha Moshe Misina says there's nothing to do with this chatos. You just have to let this chatos die because this chatos was a personalized chatos for him. And once he's been nifter, so then there's nothing to do with this. Now the Gemara in Tzmura here on Tezvav says that there is no such thing as a tzibor dying. No such thing as a tzibor dying. What do you mean there's no such thing as a tzibor dying? I mean, one v'chori could imagine a horrific case where there's such a total, let's say, there's no one alive. There's no one alive today. The tzibur from 50 years ago. So from that tzibur, there's no one alive today. No one alive today. So what do you mean that ain tzibur mason? So that's what the Rav said. No, that's exactly the point. So if the tzibur would just be the sum of its parts, would just be that the tzibur is sort of our way of describing when we have all the individual Jews, so then we call them a tzibur. So then it would be possible that a tzibur dies. And it does every so many years. So it does. But if a tzibur, again, is a metaphysical entity unto itself, is a metaphysical entity of Klal Yisrael, so that's what the Gemara says. Klal Yisrael doesn't die. Klal Yisrael doesn't die. Klal Yisrael is alive and immortal. Ain't tzibur mesim. So that's one indication. Again, one reflection of this idea that a tzibur, again, is not just the sum of its parts, but it's more than that. It's, again, the same way we see the individual body. Okay, so there are all the limbs, but then together it's one organism, it's one body, it's one being, it's one entity. So the same is true in terms of the relationship of all the members of Klal Yisrael and Klal Yisrael as a whole. It's its own metaphysical identity, a chetza bifnei atzmo. Another raya that the Rav used to bring to this is that the Ramban, actually the Ramban talks about it in two places, but you only have only one of them is here in Maror Mokom number 8. If you take a look, takriva, right? So the pasuk says adam ki atam kem korban Hashem, and then the pasuk says takriva as korbanchem. So it begins balashon yachid adam ki yakir, and the pasuk concludes balashon rabim takriva as korbanchem. So Rashi, it's five lines down into the Maran Malkum. Eid here melamit sheshnayim misnadim ola b'shutfus, that an olas nadava can be brought not only by a single person, but it can be a partnership venture. Sheshnayim misnadim ola b'shutfus. Now, what will happen if you'll make a collection from all of Klal Yisrael? Everyone will chip in a quarter, and with the money collected, so then we'll go buy a korban for an olas nedava. So the Ramban says, v'hinei l'daito, the next paragraph, kol olas sheyaviu rabim chutz min hamasaros, any ola, even if it's brought by the rabim, unless it happens to be an ola which is purchased with the leftover money from last year's communal fund, from last year's Tumas HaLishka, Dina Kedin Olas HaShutfin. That even if every member of every single individual Jew would be a Shutaf in this Korban, it would still only have the status of an Olas HaShutfin. Now, is this just semantics, whether something is an Olas HaShutfin or whether it's an Olas Tzibur? No, so the Ramban tells us the Nafkaminas. So for instance, Ramban says, Dina kedin olas hashutfin uta'una smicha v'kulam. Right? There's a din. The Torah says there at the beginning of Pashas Vayikra that when you bring in olas nedava, the somach yada al rosh ha'olaf, that the bailim do smicha on the head of the animal. That din doesn't apply to an olas tzibor. If the tzibor is bringing, so then there is no din of smicha. It does apply to an olas hashutfin. It doesn't apply to an olas tzibor. So if we have this animal, every single individual Jew contributed, do we treat it as an olas hashutfim? Will it require smicha? But the Ramban goes on to say that the nafkamina will affect the nesachim as well, but let's just take the nafkamina of smicha. So the Ramban says it would be treated as an olas hashutfim, it would require smicha, it wouldn't be an olas hatzibur. An olas hatzibur can only be if the money with which the animal was purchased was the leftovers from the Tumas HaLishka, from the communal fund from which the Kavanos Tzibur are generally purchased. So says the Rav, how can it be anything other than the Olas HaTzibur? If every single Jew is represented, so what else is that other than the Tzibur? No, every single Jew has a stake in this Korban, so how can it be anything other than an Oles Tzibur? Says the Rav, no, but that's the whole point. There's a difference between, you can have all Jews present, but they're all present as Yechidim. If all Jews have a share in this Korban, but they all have a share in this Korban as Yechidim, then that's a massive Shutfus. Yeah, a Shutfus, a partnership which encompasses every individual Jew, but it's nothing more than that. Then it can also be that all Jews are present, not as individuals, but as parts of a whole, as part of the metaphysical entity of a tzibur. And that's what the Ramban is saying. In order to create an Olas HaTzibur, you need to go through the Trumas HaLishka. But you see clearly, again, that the tzibur is more than simply the sum of its parts. It's a metaphysical identity unto itself. Rebbei Simcha in the Meshech Chochma, in a couple of places, has this idea as well. Again, that the tzibur is more than just a catch-all name, an umbrella which encompasses all individuals. If you take a look here in Maran Malkum number 9, I think, one second. No. Not exactly. Sorry about that. I'll read to you. I don't think that's the right passage, which is Zerax. The, The Meshul Chochmah in Parshas Chukas, when the pasuk is talking about the Tumas Mikdash V'Kadosha, a person comes into the Beis HaMikdash when he's Tame, so there's a fee of Kares for that. So the Lashon HaPasuk is V'Nichusa HaNefesh Ahi Mitoch HaKohol Ki Es Mikdash Hashem Tame. So Rashi already explained that we have one pasuk for Mikdash, we have another pasuk for Mishkan. The Beis Simcha is sensitive to the fact that the phrase V'Nichusa Mitoch HaKohol from the congregation. So the Torah only has that phrase when it talks about a person entering the Mikdash for Tumah. The Torah doesn't have that by Mishkan. So he says, what's the pshat? He says, V'hinei b'mishkan adayim lohoyu mitzuven al orvo shal hanistaros v'adayim lohoyu kiguf echad ma she'en kein kevin she'orvu hayardein ne'en shu al hanistaros kichol ha'umo kiguf echad. So the Meir Simcha alludes to a Gemara in Sanhedrin, it's really Machlokas Tanoim. He's assuming one side of the dispute. The Gemara says, why is it Nokud on Nistaros? In Parshas Nitzavim, on Nistaros Hashem Elokein V'Niglas Lanu L'Vanein. So why is it Nokud? Why do you have the little dots there? So it's a Machlokas Tanoim. So according to one view in the, probably his works according to either, but he's assuming one side of that Machlokas, is that the principle of Orvos, before they came into Eretz Yisrael, before they crossed the Yarden, only applied to Niglos. The idea that one Jew could be punished for what another Jew did was only if the other Jew did it in public, and we saw what he was doing, and we didn't do anything. But what happens if it was Nistaros? What happens if the Jew was doing it in private, and no one else knew about it? So culpability for that there should be mutual responsibility and culpability for that didn't set in until they crossed the Yarden. And the Gemara says that's the significance of the Nokud Olav is to hint that in terms of when the Orva set in, it didn't set in fully until they came into Eretz Yisrael. So Meir Simcha says this notion of Tzibur that we're talking about, that the Tzibur again is not... again, just the sum of its parts, but as its own individual, its own metaphysical entity, that didn't fully crystallize. We'll see in a minute. It's there in part, but it didn't fully crystallize until they came into Eretz Yisrael. And that's why at this point the Torah describes Kares as Mitoch HaKohol. The Kares isn't only affecting the individual, but the Kares is affecting part of the Kohol. It's affecting part of the metaphysical entity, which is Klal Yisrael. Okay, be that as it may, so we have this idea, we'll see perhaps the Malbim has it as well, but we have this idea that the Rav develops, that the Meir Simcha develops, again, that the Tzibur is not just an aggregate of individuals, but if the sum is greater than its parts. It is one person, one super person, and the analogy being that all of us as individuals are like limbs of one organism. Now, what the din of Orvos points to is when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says he wants to give us the Torah. So if you take a look here in the Maran Makomos, back to Maran Makom number 5, so the Torah says in Parsha Shmos, leading up to Matan Torah, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu says V'atam Shemoa Tishmu Bekoli Ushmartim is Brisi, Vyisam li skula mikohamim ki li koloretz. Vaatem tiyu li mamlechas konim vagai kadosh, ela hadramisha tadabel bnei Yisrael. So it's quite clear that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not offering the Torah to individual Jews. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not saying, listen, there's a few million of you, I'm offering you, Yechidim, the Torah. The only thing is, it's an all or nothing. Either you all say yes or you all say no. I want it to be unanimous. No, it's quite clear that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying that the Torah is being given to a nation. The Torah is being given to this idea, again, which the Rav developed, which Rav Meir Simcha developed, that it's being given to the Tzibur, that it's being given to Klal Yisrael as its own being, as its own entity. That Torah was given to Klal Yisrael as a whole. It wasn't given to you and to me as Yechidim. It was given to Klal Yisrael. Now, since we belong to Klal Yisrael, so then Memela Torah is ours as well. And Memela, even as an individual, even as individuals, we have to fulfill, we have to observe the Torah. But Torah wasn't given to us directly as individuals. It's Va'atem Tiyuri Mamlech Es Kohanim V'Goy Kadosh Skula Mikol Ha'amim. Torah was given again to this metaphysical notion of tzibur, which the Rav talks about, which Rebbeinu Simcha talks about. The tzibur was the recipient of Torah, and then it sort of trickles down to everyone who's a member of the tzibur, and then even as yechidim, even as individuals, we're obviously fully obligated in the Torah. But that's how the Torah is given. Now, in light of that, so the din of Orvos is very natural, right? In light of that, so the din of Orvos, again, what did we see that the din of Orvos says? Why is it that if my guest comes late to the table, so I can say Kiddush a second time for him? But isn't the din that in order to be motzi someone else, I have to be mechuyav b'davar? So the answer is I'm still mechuyav in Kiddush. Because even though I made Kiddush, he hasn't made Kiddush yet. So that's what the Rashi explains, the reason Yotza Motzi. I'm still mechuyav b'davar. Why am I still mechuyav b'davar? So we saw, because the nature of my mitzvah is not that I have to make Kiddush, aniyas nafshi hitzalti, not that I have to make Kiddush, but that everyone should make Kiddush. That's my mitzvah. My mitzvah is that everyone should make Kiddush. So how natural that is, and how intuitive that really is, when we realize that really the mitzvah of Kiddush, it wasn't given to me as a yochid. I wasn't singled out as a yochid. No one was singled out as a yochid, as an individual, for mitzvah Kiddush. Mitzvah Kiddush was given to Klal Yisrael as a whole. Now, okay, so Klal Yisrael. So how does Klal Yisrael make Kiddush? Okay, so sometimes the Torah says it's the chovas tzibur. So one person should do it. And sometimes the Torah says, no, the way Klal Yisrael should do it is, everyone should do it as a yochid as well. But the fact that the mitzvah was given to the Klal, then it follows very naturally that the nature of my obligation should not just be that I have to make Kiddush, but that everyone should make Kiddush. Because the mitzvah, again, most directly, is not the yochid's mitzvah, is not the individual's mitzvah, but every mitzvah really belongs to the Klal. Torah was given to a goy kodosh. It was given to a mamlechas kohanim. So every mitzvah really targets the Klal. How does it trickle down to the yochid? Every yochid now has a responsibility that the Klal should perform the mitzvah. Now, in light of what we've been discussing, again, Torah is given to Klal Yisrael as a whole, to this metaphysical entity, to this chesed b'fnei atzma of Klal Yisrael, again, which already existed b'shas Kabbalah HaTorah, according to Rebbeinu Simcha, it attained an even higher level when we came into Eretz Yisrael. So then we have a new understanding, a new insight into the famous Mechilta that Rashi quotes on Vayichan Shem Yisrael Neged Ahor. In Maramokom number 10, the third line, Vayichan Shem Yisrael Ki Ish Echad V'Levecha, that when we encamped at HaSinai, so it was as one. So in light of what we've been discussing, because this was the sine qua non, this was the tnai kodim lemaisa for Kabbalah HaTorah. If it had, Torah was not going to be given to Yechidim, as long as there was divisiveness, as long as there was machlokas, the Torah couldn't have been given. So that's what the Torah is emphasizing. Vayichan Shem Yisrael neged ahar. They were ki'ish echad v'lev echad, right? The same word that, I'm sorry you don't have in front of you, but the very same word that Rebbeinu Simcha used, the Shekol HaKohu Hu Odom Echad, Ki Guf Echad, it was Ki Ish Echad V'Lev Echad. So then that means that this idea of Tzibur had crystallized, that they didn't camp as Yechidim. As long as there's divisiveness, as long as there's Machlokas, so that means there's a bunch of Yechidim. There's no Machlokas between the right arm and the left arm. The very minute was Ki Ish Echad V'Lev Echad, now they were in a position for Kabbalah HaTorah. It also gives us some fresh insight into another very, again, Me'inyana Diyoma, with which we're all familiar, that the Talmid Rabbi Akiva died at this time of year, depending upon what, I guess, which minig of Sfira one observes, but Talmid Rabbi Akiva died at this time of year because Lo Nagu Kavod Zebo Zeh. Okay, so clearly Lo Nagu Kavod Zebo Zeh means to the standard, to the degree which they, as tzaddikim, chassidei elyon, as talmidei Rabbi Akiva, were held, so they were found lacking. But an interesting question: Kol midosav shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mida keneged mida. Whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu does is a mida keneged mida. So why is it that the midas hadin struck the talmidei Rabbi Akiva dafka this time of year? Presumably, their behavior throughout the year was uniform. Whatever they were lacking, whatever they were deficient in terms of nag and kavod zeh bazeh, so presumably it was uniform. So why is it that the midas hadin strikes them dafka this time of year? So the answer is, because Sfiras HaOmer is a time for hachana for Kabbalah HaTorah. Hachana for Kabbalah HaTorah has to be, Kabbalah HaTorah is only possible when it's Vayichan Shom Yisrael Neged Ohor, when it's Ki'ish Echad V'Lev Echad. Oh, so now, the chesaron, the deficiency of Lo Nagu Kavod Zeh Bazeh, so it stands out even more at this time of year than any other time of year, because this time of year, part of the Avoda is to recapture the Ki'ish Echad V'Lev Echad. This time of year, when that's part of our Avoda, that's an important part of our avoda. So even this time of year was on the cover of Zevazeh. So then the midas hadin was a mekatreg, and they suffered their punishment. It's interesting. Shifting gears for a second, we'll Mitz Hashem link it up soon. In the Shemoneh Esrei, so we daven Yerushalayim ircha berachamim toshu. The Kodesh Baruch Hu should return to his city Yerushalayim. Okay, that we want Kodesh Baruch Hu to return to Yerushalayim is understandable. Why the emphasis on Yerushalayim ircha? Our association with if we had to define the term city, so we'd say it sort of designates a political entity. A city has its own mayor, its own social services. So that's the significance of a city. What's the significance of Yerushalayim? Significance of Yerushalayim is that Yerushalayim of the Gimel Machnos, of the three precincts of the Beis HaMikdash, so Yerushalayim is the third one, is Machne Yisrael. Yerushalayim is Kedusha. Yerushalayim, Yerucha. Why are we emphasizing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should return to Yerushalayim, his city? Now the truth is that we clearly are taking our cue from Pesukim, whether it's in Megillas Eicha, Eicha Yosh V'Vodod, Ha'ir Rabba Sion. Again, so we're highlighting the fact that Yerushalayim, not just a city, but the city, Ha'ir Rabba Sion, in Tillin, Yerushalayim habnuya ki'ir shechuba lo yachta. So clearly the nusach hatfila we have reflects the emphasis in the psukim, but it's taka somewhat strange. Why the emphasis that Yerushalayim is a city? So if you take a look, this is just by way of example, but if you take a look in Mount Mokom number 11 for a moment, I will say. Mount Mokom number 11, Kol ir sheyesh ba Yisrael chayovim lahamid mehem gaboi tzedaka. Any city in which there is a Jewish community have to appoint gaboi tzedaka. Who should they be? Anoshim yiduim v'ne'emonim, well-known, trustworthy people, Shem Machzirin al Ha'om Erev Shabbos LaErev Shabbos, who make the rounds on Erev Shabbos, VeLokchen Mikol Echad VeEchad Mashuroi Litain VeDova HaKotzav Olav. There used to be a stock tax, and it was Ish Kematnas Yado. If a person had deeper pockets, so then he was supposed to give more, and the Gaboi stock would collect, and then VeHein Machalken Hamos MeErev Shabbos LaErev Shabbos. And then they would distribute the tzedakah money to the poor on Erev Shabbos. And nosim l'chol oni v'oni mizonos hamaspik in the shiva yamin. And then they would apportion to each poor person enough to last them for 7 days. V'zohi anikra kupa. This tzedakah fund, this weekly collection and distribution, is known as the kupa. Right. V'chein ma'amidin gaboyin shalokin b'chol yom v'yom mikol chatzah v'chatzah. Then they would make. Then there were gabbaim who would make daily rounds, and collect what people would voluntarily donate, whether they gave it in the form of food or in the form of cash. And this stock of fund, machalkin es hagavi lo erev bein haniyim, benosin lachol oni mimeni panosas yomo. Then they would, from this fund, an oni could get a daily allotment. V'zeh nikra tamcha. Fine. Now halacha gimel. Me'olam lo ra'inu v'lo shamanu mikol b'Yisrael she'en lan kupa shel tzedakah. Says the Rambam, it's unheard of that a Jewish community shouldn't have a kupa shel tzedakah. Aval tamcha yesh mekam asher nagu bo, yesh mekam asher nagu bo. Fine. But it's unheard of that a Jewish community shouldn't have a kupa shel tzedakah. So what's the Rambam saying here? So if you take a look in the first edition of the Olu Masorah, so there it's written that the Rav quoted from the Chaim, that what this Rambam is teaching us is the following, that when it comes to mitzvahs of chesed, in particular the Rambam is talking about tzedakah here, that in addition to a chovas yochid, in addition to what an individual does as such, there also has to be a communal mechanism. That tzedakah is also a chovas tzibur as well. It's not only a chovas yachid, not only do each of us as individuals have a responsibility to give tzedakah, but the tzibur as such has an obligation to give tzedakah as well. A yachid doesn't have to have a fund in his house, of a kupa. He doesn't have to have a fund in his house to be able to distribute money to aniyim in every Erev Shabbos. But the tzibur does. There's a chovas tzibur as well. The Chaim used this idea to Faren for Tosfos is Kasha, that the Gemara in Maromokim number 12 tells the story that Rava, the second line in the of the Maromokim number 12, that Rava kafiel Rav Nosson bar Ami, that Rava coerced Rav Nosson bar Ami, va'afik minei dalet mei azuzeh letztokah, and forced them to contribute 400 zuz to tztokah. So the Rishonim there asked the Kasha, Tosfos al Adaf, but doesn't the Gemara tell us that there's a rule that whenever you have a mitzvah essay, shematan schara, ksuva, b'tzida, so ein bezen shalmata muzarin aleha. That if the Torah ever, right alongside the mitzvah, the Torah tells us what the schar is that ensues for doing that mitzvah, so then that's an indication that that's supposed to be the only motivation you give people. And that bezen is not supposed to coerce to force someone to fulfill the mitzvah. Like this, if a person says, if they tell the person, make sure you buy your dalet minim so you'll be able to be mekayim mitzvahs lulav, and he says, no, as they say in Eretz Yisrael nowadays, lo bali, doesn't interest me, lo bali. So then the din is, he says, lulav eini notel is makino sasha teitzei nafsha. You beat him up, you force him to be mekayim mitzvah. What happens if he says, I'm not going to be mekayim kibur ova ein, lo bali? So you can't beat him up, because kadir is avich v'asimecha l'manya arichin yamecha, because it's matan schara of the tzedakah. So there is no kfiyah. But by tzedakah also, the Torah says that there's matan schara kosov v'tzedakah. So how could Rava coerce Rav Nosson bar Ami into fulfilling mitzvah tzedakah? So Rav Chaim says the answer is like this, that principle that you can't coerce only applies to the chovas yachid of tzedakah. But tzedakah also has a chovas tzibur, as illustrated in this Rambam about the kupa, about the tamchoy. And that was the basis for the coercion. By kibur ova ein, there is no second element. There is no chovas tzibur as well. It's just the chovas yachid. Okay. So be that as it may, what's pertinent to us most immediately here in this context is that ear, right? Again, ko ear sheyesh ba Yisrael, and me'olam lo ra'ina v'lo shamanu b'kol miYisrael. So an ear doesn't only represent a political entity, but it also represents ichud. It also represents that the city means that if all these yechidim live in the city, so then they're not only yechidim, but they also comprise a tzibur. And that's what the significance of an ear is. What a city represents in halacha, it represents a political entity also in terms of taxes, or the taxes in halacha also. But for our purposes, what the city represents is the city is ma'ached. This notion that we spoke about, that a tzibur is not just a collection of individuals, of yechidim, but they then joined together and they form, again, a sum which is an entity which is greater than the sum of its parts. So an ear helps create that. The fact that they live in this same city, so that helps the tzibur crystallize. When we say that Yerushalayim ircha v'rachamim tashuv, so what it reflects is that Yerushalayim is ma'ached klal Yisrael. And that's why we speak of Yerushalayim as the city par excellence, Yerushalayim ircha v'rachamim tashuv, the same way the city, in the example we saw in Hilchos Matnos Aniyim, it's the city which again creates this tzibur, there it was relevant at Tzedakah. That's what we're saying, Yerushalayim Ircha, that Yerushalayim is what's ultimately Ma'achid Klal Yisrael, right? For a person, in what direction do we daven? The outside of Yerushalayim, yet you figure out, you look in the compass where Yerushalayim is. Every Jew is focused on Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is Ma'achid Klal Yisrael. The Balzim says that basically, what we're saying now is a pasuk in Tehillim. David HaMelech says it. If you take a look here on the last page of the Maran Mekomos, so I guess it's Maran Mekom number 14, Pasuk Gimel, Yerushalayim, right? It's the first line when they branch out here in the lines of the Malvin. Yerushalayim hi habenuya ki'ir shechuba lo yachtav she'eleha Uba'avura yischabu ha'evayim ha'pratim shal ha'guf ha'kolel yachtav lios guf echad. That it's for the sake of Yerushalayim and through Yerushalayim that all the individual limbs, right, and the limbs are the metaphor for individual Jews, that they join together, that they connect to become one. And that's what Yerushalayim is, and that's what we're saying when we talk about Yerushalayim Ircha. It's because Yerushalayim, more than anything, it's through Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is Ma'ached Klal Yisrael. Then the Malbim says something amazing. On the Pasuk, a couple of Psukim later, in the same capital, Shalu Shlom Yerushalayim Yishloyu Ohavoyach. Right? So ask about the welfare of Yerushalayim. May those who love Yerushalayim be tranquil. May they enjoy shalva. Says the Malbim. Take a look in Pasuk Vav here. Sha'alu achashibir. After David HaMelech has explained she Yerushalayim hi ha'ma'amedes chibur ha'gevio ha'klolis va'achdusa, that it's Yerushalayim which is responsible, again, for the unity of the national entity, right? Notice the relationship between the word goy, nation, and gvia, body. Omer, David HaMelech continues and says, Kemoshe in tishal lishlom ha-gvia ha-ishis. If you ask about the health of the human body, Noshev lo shashloma toloi, in her evorim v'hakochos shebenuya shebegaveha mekusharim v'yesh lahem shalom yachtav. The question is whether or not all the systems are working harmoniously for a person to be healthy. So all the organs, all the systems within the human body have to be working harmoniously. The very minute that the different systems within the body don't function harmoniously, death ensues. Cain im yishalu l'shlom Yerushalayim, if we'll ask about the welfare, the peace of Yerushalayim, Noma will say, Hatshuva, the answer to that is, Sheshloma, the shalom of Yerushalayim totally hinges in Yishloyu Ohavoy. What does that mean? Im Ohave Yerushalayim Yiyeh Beinayim Shalva Pnimis Hozeh Tov Yishlom Yerushalayim. If there will be inner tranquility between all those who love Yerushalayim, read, all Jews, if there will be Shalva between all Ohave Yerushalayim, so Hozeh Tov Yishlom Yerushalayim. And he goes on to explain that the difference between shalom and shalva, again, the Malbim L'shitaso, if you talk about Kodesh, there's no such thing as synonyms in Tanakh, in Lashon HaKodesh, there's always some difference. Shalom means vis-a-vis external forces. It means peace from the outside, from external forces, from enemies. And shalva means inner peace, tranquility. And he says, to ensure shalom from outer forces, so the answer is, shalu shalom yushalayim yushalayu avayach. It depends upon the inner tranquility. And finally, just so all the ideas converge, the orvus, the Kabbalah Satara, Vayichan Shem Yisrael Neged Ahor, Yushalayim and Ma'achet, just one last source, and again, I'm sorry, I neglected to list in the Ma'ariv Mekomos, but Meir Simchan in Meshech Chochmah, at the end of Parshas Devarim, has some comments on the Haftarah of Shabbos Chazon. In that context, he repeats here the same idea which we looked at earlier from Parshas Chukas, how the Tzibur, again, the same idea which the Rav developed, it's its own metaphysical identity, Kiguf Echad. And then he comments on the Maimah Chazal, the Lochava Yushalayim Elimit Neshalahu Chichu Zeh. The reason Yushalayim was Chorev, meaning with the Beis HaMikdash, the reason Yushalayim was Chorev is because Lohu Chichu Zeh. So what does it mean? So Rav Meir Simcha says that tochacha can be used with a preposition lamed. There can be tochacha le, and then it can be tochacha with in the accusative case. Hochichu ze ezze. What's the difference? He says tochacha. He says there are two ways of trying to get someone on the right path. One is, he says, let's say you have someone an ish kadosh v'nora. He says the person gets up and he gives people musar, and it shakes them to the core, and it changes them. That's lahochiach la. Then you would say that with the lamed. The musa is two. But the Gemara doesn't say lahochichu ze loza. The Gemara says lahochichu ze ezze. The Gemara is referring to a different path, a different mechanism. Another way of giving tochacha is when every Jew learns from the virtues, from the qualities of his fellow Jew within the tzibur. Meaning, the Meir Simcha says, it's not that we're supposed to be unaware of another Jew's shortcomings or deficiencies. No, I need to know what I should be influenced by, what I shouldn't be influenced by. So I need to know what he's right about, what he's wrong about. But lo chichu zeh means, and he gives examples. He says, let's say you have a person who everyone knows he's very poor. He's very poor, he has a hard time with panasa. And nevertheless, he's so scrupulous about gezeila, so scrupulous, he doesn't cheat on taxes. Every penny he's so careful about. Hochichu zeh means that we should all be looking at that person and we should be inspired. And we should say, if he can be Mosa Nefesh to maintain such integrity in financial matters, then certainly we, who have it a lot easier, who are a lot more comfortable, so we certainly have to be marketed. He gives another example. Let's say you have a person who's single, he's not married, and nevertheless he lives B'Kdusha V'Tara. He lives with Dusha Vatara, so we have to be inspired by that example as well. Hochichu zeh means that the dynamic of a tzibur, of being echad, is that when we come together, it should come together for positive reinforcement. That everyone, again, we're objective. We recognize, both within ourselves and within others, the strengths and weaknesses. But then the hochichu zeh, the taking advantage of being part of this tzibur and the creating the Vayichan Shem Yisrael Neged Ahor, is that each of us is inspired by all the wonderful examples which other members of Kal Yisrael provide for us.